On today's show, Nick Engstead from Locked On Mavericks taking over for Josh Lloyd today. And we've got three Western Conference hosts on the docket. One of those is not like the other. However, they're all streaking right now. The Golden State Warriors on a 7-game winning streak. We'll have Wes Goldberg to talk about what's going on with Klay Thompson, what's his status, and how this Warriors team has been so good. Then we'll talk to Brendan Kleen from Locked On Suns. The Suns streaking in a way that no one else is in the NBA right now. Why is no one else talking about the Suns? We'll talk about them, Devin Booker's change this year that he made to his game, and then Jackson Gatlin of the, 3-15 Houston Rockets that are on a 2-game winning streak. What's going on with John Wall and all that? We'll talk about it on today's Locked On NBA.
You are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome. You're locked on to the NBA. My name is Nick Engstead, host of the Locked On Mavericks podcast, sitting in for Josh Lloyd today. And we've got some great Western Conference hosts to talk to today. First off is Wes Goldberg from the Locked On Warriors podcast. And today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Check out prizepicks.com and use the promo code NBA or go to your app store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. All right, we're here. Nick Engstead from Locked On Mavericks, Wes Goldberg from Locked On Warriors and Locked On Heat. But we are talking about the Warriors today because the Warriors are absolutely dominating right now in a way that I definitely didn't see coming. I don't know if you saw it coming, Wes. 18-2 in the NBA right now. They're the best team in the NBA. 7-game win streak right now. Did you see this coming?
How good the Warriors would be this year? I thought they would get out to a fast start, if I'm being honest, because the way they ended last season, I know that it's hard to take away that much. You know, typically it doesn't translate, you know, one season to another. If you win, you know, 30 of your last 40, whatever it is, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to do that. You're going to be on that pace at the start of next season. But what they figured out at the end of last year was just how they wanted to play with this new group. And it was mostly these players, Jordan Poole, Juan Toscano-Anderson, all these guys, like figuring out how to play with Steph Curry and kind of elevating that style of play that Steve Kerr has implemented since he got there, right? And so I thought they figured something out, something clicked. And then they went out this offseason and just got guys who could do more of that. Otto Porter is able to space the floor. They brought back Andre Iguodala. You get a guy like Nemanja Bjelica, who is a good player there for center for them, who could space the floor. He's an underrated playmaker at that spot. They just got they found out what they wanted to do, and then they doubled down on it. And then you combine that with just this general attitude of, hey, we're back. We're the Warriors. We're sick of being out of the playoffs 2 years in a row. Klay Thompson's coming back, and we're all super, you know, excited about that. I thought that they were going to end, and you combine that with a really, really soft schedule to start the season. I thought that it was ripe for a quick start. But then you get really great performances in Brooklyn, Sunday night in LA against the Clippers. Good teams, right? And they just blow those teams out. And they're just playing with a level of confidence. They're playing super hard every single night. They lead the league by far in like just cutting to the basket, which is a great indicator of just how hard they are playing under Steve Kerr. All this stuff is right there. This is a team with a mission. There's a little bit of an FU attitude that they have, which you just love. and so I don't know if I anticipated this, but I did anticipate a fast start. But you could just look at the betting odds, right? You bet online. Like, you track the odds, right? Like before the season to now, the odds were way better before if you took them early on than if you're taking them now.
It's absolutely insane how good this team has been. We mentioned the record, but there are only two losses. Grizzlies earlier in the year in October was a 3-point loss in overtime. And then against the Hornets was a 4-point loss against the Hornets. Like, just absolutely insane the way that this team has dominated. They're, according to Cleaning the Glass, second in the NBA in offensive rating, first in the NBA in defensive rating. I mean, they are just like this dominant team. A lot of people thought that, including myself, that the Nets would be this team at the top of the NBA, just dominating and having that FU attitude. Is there something about, is it just Draymond, or what is it about this team that is able to kick that FU attitude into like actual wins and actual performance?
It's Draymond, obviously. He's a big part of it. I think the fact that Draymond doesn't have to, just speaking specific to him, the fact that he doesn't have to mentor these young players anymore. Like, another underrated part of what the Warriors did was not just the player additions, but the coaching additions. They revamped their player development staff, revamped the bench next to and behind Steve Kerr there on the sideline with a bunch of player development guys. So now it's not Draymond being forced to try to get these guys to learn. And they drafted two guys in the lottery. James Wiseman hasn't played, but he's coming back. Those are three really young guys, but they're not, like last year, they asked James Wiseman to be part of the rotation. Now he's not because he's injured, but I think when he comes back, like, he's not going to have a nightly role, I don't think. And with Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody, they're not asking them to do stuff. So you've got Draymond Green, instead of having to mentor these guys on the fly, which is something he didn't really want to do, and, you know, he embraced it and whatever. You heard, like, all the coach speak and the reports out there, stuff
he
that I wrote.
Them going,
you know,
to go get donuts and stuff, right?
Like, yeah, like, he does, but he didn't want to do that stuff. He's like, he just wants to play with guys who have been in the league for 8 to 10 years, who know what they're doing on the basketball floor, and he doesn't have to scream at. And so I think that's been helpful, that Draymond Green can just go full tilt Draymond. Steph Curry Sunday had like a really fiery outburst at the ref. He thought he was fouled. He wasn't, but he thought he was fouled. But usually, like, he's not the guy that complains about fouls, and he's getting really fiery. He's shimmying on sidelines after making threes. Like, he's playing with energy, and Steve Kerr, I think, is really energized by this group the same way that Draymond is. I think those two guys are way more similar than we tend to think about. But Steve Kerr is a huge competitor. He doesn't really want to deal with all the he wants to win, right? Like, I think after 2 years, he's like kind of over the player development stuff. He hires a bunch of coaches to handle that stuff, and now he's got guys who can really play. I think they're all just super fired up.
The revamping the coaching staff is really interesting, because we just saw over the weekend in college football, Michigan just beat Ohio State for the first time since 2011. And one of the things that they said that Jim Harbaugh did was revamp this coaching staff and get younger, like, just change everybody basically besides himself and get younger to be more relatable, to change the way, because they just kept getting destroyed by Ohio State every single year. And to go in and revamp that, you were like, all right, we're going to change our approach. We're going to get smarter. We're going to get younger. We're going to try that. And I find that really interesting that that would work in the NBA as well, especially since these guys are professionals. They've been around, they've had a blueprint for success before, but then this team is so different than what we've seen in the past. I find that really, really interesting.
Yeah. And it was a slow process. It was a slow build. And by the job that Steve Kerr had to do over the last couple of years when they were missing the playoffs was not the job Steve Kerr was hired to do. He was hired to take over a team with Steph, Clay, Draymond, and kind of unlock that trio and kind of take them to a greater place than what Mark Jackson had them at. Then Kevin Durant comes in, and it's just a lot of ego management, just getting them through the regular season and just figuring out ways to get past LeBron, basically. And he did a great job at that, obviously. And then Kevin Durant leaves, Steph Curry breaks his hand, Klay Thompson, 2 major injuries in a row, all this stuff. And all of a sudden, he's got to figure out, okay, how do I develop guys like Juan Toscano-Anderson, Jordan Poole? How do I get the most out of this new group? What are we doing? We're drafting the lottery 2 years in a row. A very different kind of job. I think he found the right kind of coaches on that staff that he can lean on for that kind of stuff, because Steve Kerr is not a player development guy. He's a culture setter. He's the kumbaya Steve Kerr stuff, right? Like, he implements the system, and now he's got guys that can play that system and a coaching staff that can help get the most out of these younger types of players and develop them. Maybe not at a rate where they're able to contribute right away to a championship team, but at a rate that they're hoping that these guys could, you know, 4 or 5 years from now, sort of take the baton from Steph, Clay, and Draymond Green.
And now for these young guys, there's a level of competition that has been set, right? Like, hey, we're winning. Like, this is a train that is moving right now. You can't just jump in and you expect to get 30 minutes because you were the number 2 pick. You were the number 5 pick, right? These guys have to come in and you have to contribute. So I'm going to hold you to this higher standard. So I find that really interesting to see how they're going to respond to that. The big thing I think everyone's waiting for and talking about, and even going into the season, was, all right, this team is fine, but whenever Klay Thompson comes back, blah, 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 blah. What's the latest we know about Klay Thompson? When is he coming back? And then what's the blah, blah, blah? Like, if Klay comes back, then what? Like, what is it after that?
What's the blah, blah, blah is, like, maybe, like, the most existential question. Like, you could just ask that about everything in life. If you knew what the blah, blah, blah was, you would be in good shape. But the latest on Klay is that he's ramping up into scrimmages and stuff like that. And actually, as of today, the Warriors are planning to send him down to Santa Cruz, their G League affiliate. It's like a 2-hour drive south of San Francisco. And this is something that they did with Steph a couple of years ago when Steph broke that hand. And right before he was going to come back, they sent him to Santa Cruz for a scrimmage. He didn't play in a game. I doubt Klay Thompson plays in a game, but he played in
some. Are we going to see Klay drop 15 threes in a game against, like, the, you know, the Texas Legends?
Right. Yeah. I mean, we haven't seen. I'd watch Klay Thompson.
That'd be great. I'm in. Yeah. Justin Jackson went down to the Legends and dropped, like, 10 threes in a game. I don't know what Klay Thompson would be able to do in the G League.
probably about that. That's the plan, right? Is you have him in a real game type of situation in a scrimmage, and start ramping up that work, right? And so this is something that the Warriors did. And if you look at when they did it with Steph, it was only a couple days after that Steph did that, that he was on the court. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to be the case with Klay, but it does show, like, I'm not saying it's just going to be 2 days, but it's going to be, we're getting to that point now where it's sooner rather than later. I think everybody's super excited. As far as the yada, 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 I don't know what Klay Thompson does when he comes back. Like, I don't know how much it changes things. I think it helps Steph, you know, when you watch the Warriors now, you've got like 3-4 guys on Steph Curry, like all the time. I don't know that you could do that with Klay just because he's Klay Thompson. The Warriors have done a really good job of like this propaganda of here's Klay Thompson making 100 threes in a row. I think like people notice that stuff. Like, they're still going to respect Klay from the perimeter. I don't know what he's going to do defensively. I don't know if he's going to be able to attack closeouts off the knee and the ankle. I don't know if he's going to be able to get into the post or even defend the post, having to put weight on that stuff. We'll see, right? But I think the Warriors right now are a title contender. Klay Thompson is obviously helpful, but as far as how helpful, I don't think anybody has that answer until we actually see him. Like I said, he'll help space the floor, but what else, right? We'll have to wait and see.
Absolutely. And we'll have to wait and see. There are a couple of new hosts coming for the Lockdown Warriors show. I promise you they're coming, but Wes is going to stick in there and he's hosting Lockdown Warriors until they come in there. He's also hosting Lockdown Heat, doing double duty over there. So Wes, thanks so much for joining us, and go check out if you want more Warriors talk or Heat talk.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
Coming up, we're going to talk to Brendan Kleen from the Locked On Suns podcast and talk about Devin Booker and this insane Suns team. But before we do that, let me tell you about Prize Picks. Today, I want to tell you about something that made daily NBA fantasy better right now than anything else. Prize Picks is the best NBA daily fantasy prop game on the market. It offers more NBA props than any other daily fantasy prop operator out there. It offers superstar players like Steph Curry, as well as role players like Jordan Poole and, you know, Andrew Wiggins, if you want to call him a role player, whatever you want to call Andrew Wiggins at this point in his career. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, interceptions, so you can do football and NBA at the same time. You can do MMA. You can do all kinds of different sports at the same time. You can go in there right now, pick 2 to 5 players, and an over-under on their projections. You can win up to 10 times any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. The odds are in your favor in that case. Go ahead and use the promo code NBA, and you'll deposit $100, they'll match it, $100. They'll match it all the way for you, all the way up to $100. So don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com. Use the promo code NBA or go to your app store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Also, I want to tell you about DirecTV. It's one of the few ways that I'm watching my local NBA team right now. And I know for some of you, there's some frustration out there. I want to tell you about a simple way that you can get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. You can get your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. There's no more juggling remotes, no clutter, and there's no annual contract. DirecTV Stream, go to DirecTV.com. Use DirecTV.com. Get DirecTV Stream. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. All right, thanks for making us your first listen every single day. You can subscribe to the podcast anywhere. We're free and available on all platforms, including YouTube, where you can see myself, Nick Engstead, and Brendan Kleen here from Locked On Suns, talking about this streaking Suns team. I mean, in 16 win streak right now. That's close to the most the Suns have ever had, or is it tying for the Suns' most wins in a row ever in their franchise history? They're now 17-3, second in the West. What's the recipe they've figured out so far, Brennan?
They have more chemistry than any team in the NBA. I mean, I think that's really I don't even know if it's a recipe. It's just a fact. I mean, you watch this team play at this point in time, and yeah, they are one win away. The game against Golden State on Tuesday night on TNT will be them going for tying the franchise record. They could break it if they beat Detroit on Thursday after that game. So they have just looked, they don't look like any other team in the league. I mean, and that's, you know, maybe I'm biased because it's the team I watch the most, but they share the ball. They're flying around the floor. Like, you know, the box score doesn't even do them justice in terms of how together they are. They get, you know, they've had wins on this streak where somebody doesn't even score 20 points. They've had wins on this streak where, you know, they just hold the defense back to, you know, below, or hold the offense, the opposing team down below 90 points. So they're getting it done kind of just whatever way they need to do, all because of that identity and that cohesion that they've really ridden ever since the bubble all the way back last summer.
This all started with winning 8 games in the bubble, is what you're saying?
Pretty much did. I mean, that was the recipe back then, right? It was just they played together more than the teams that they were facing and figured out a way to kind of just out-execute those squads. And you know, it's probably like overly simple to say that that's what they've done every night, but they just have so many versatile players. Devin Booker is, you know, changing his game up a little bit. Mikal Bridges is taking a leap that's just super unique in his own way, where it's not so much scoring. It's just getting even better at all the little stuff that he already was doing. And everybody just fills their role. They're deeper this year, and they're just riding all of that stuff to kind of just get the job done, dependent on which opponent that they're playing every night. And we'll see what happens against Golden State, but it's worked so far.
Yeah, that selfishness, the selflessness, the, you know, we're going to share the ball. We're going to share the ball, be up in the top five in assists per game. I think this team is. You mentioned Devin Booker changed his game a little bit this season. His scoring is down this year. Only 24 points a game so far for Devin Booker, which is not something we're used to. We're used to seeing Devin Booker just go out there and, you know, chuck a bunch of shots, be on a bad team, like score a bunch of points. And this is it seems like a different Devin Booker. What has he done to change his game? What is he doing this season? Where have you seen growth and where have you seen regression in his game?
It's actually really cool. I mean, I think what we're really seeing from him is sort of a combination of that bad team Booker that you were talking about and the guy that he was in 2019-20. I mean, I think last year was actually sort of the outlier for him, where he was very clearly adjusting to playing with Chris Paul. His three-point shooting was one of the lowest of his entire career. He wasn't really getting to the free throw line, which actually he's doing even less this season. But you could just tell he was the guy who was feeling things out a little bit, deferring to Chris Paul late in games, trying to get the new additions, Jay Crowder, Cameron Payne, those guys sort of comfortable, Dario Saric, not so much a newcomer, but it was about everybody, right? And now you're seeing they're kind of still, obviously, like I just said, doing that sharing 0.5 second decision-making type of mentality, but they're doing it in a way that features Booker. He's been a little bit more aggressive, and the three-point shots are going in. I mean, that's really the big thing. It's his playmaking has gone up. He's rebounding a little better, but I don't know if that's so much a skill as just whoever the ball ends up with. But then the threes are going in. He's up to 41%, which would be by far the best of his entire career. His attempts are up since at the most since 2019. So that's really it. He's just kind of a more efficient version and kind of putting together that stuff we saw him when he was just jacking shots back before they really took their leap. And the guy that we saw, you know, with Ricky Rubio and Chris Paul really start to like figure it out as a team player. And he's kind of doing both right now. So that scoring has been lower, but he's coming off of two big nights in New York against the Knicks and the Nets. And I think we'll see that scoring number rise because he's really firing on all cylinders right now.
I've heard of the 7 seconds or less Suns, but I've never heard of 0.5 seconds or less Suns. Explain to me what's the 0.5 second decision thing you're talking about on offense for the Suns?
Yeah, it comes from the Spurs, actually. It's just the idea that you think back to those the end of the dynasty when they really were just, you know, nobody was playing more than 30 minutes. Everybody was scoring. They looked pretty similar to these Suns teams. Monty Williams started his coaching career there. Then obviously after the accident with his wife, that's how he got back into basketball, was as a vice president of basketball ops over there for a season or two. Took that, wanted to instill it. He was very much criticized back when he was the coach of the Hornets that his offense wasn't very imaginative. So he took this system. Brett Brown did it in Philly, where Monty also was an assistant. And it's just what it sounds like. You either pass, shoot, or move within half a second of catching the ball. And, you know, anyone who watches the Suns, I'm sure they're having that moment of like, oh yeah, I know what that means. It's exactly what we see that team do every night. And look, for Booker to be able to do this, I think, with that mentality, makes it even more impressive. I mean, it takes, you know, a different kind of player to excel and score 25 points a night and make threes and dish the ball out to his teammates and do so without really, you know, sitting on it and dribbling the air out of the ball. So I promise that was not a slight. I feel like I was saying things that make it sound like I was insulting other players, but I wasn't. It's just that's what's so impressive about him.
Oh, we would never take it as a slight here. I don't host the Locked On Mavs pod with a player that may not believe in the 0.5 seconds.
They didn't beat James Harden, right? No, they didn't. The Suns are not coming off of beating and putting James Harden in a complete guillotine. Oof. That was what it was. But it's impressive.
Speaking of which, let's get into that. This win streak that has now been, I guess, capped off, but I guess continues on with this win against the Nets. What's gone into this streak so far? How have they won 16 games in a row? Let's dissect it a little bit here, because I see a couple wins against the Rockets, a win against the Timberwolves, wins against the Pelicans. There's just some wins, a couple wins against the Mavs without Luka, a win against the Nuggets without Jokic. Is this just the Suns taking care of good teams in front of them? Where have we actually seen the Suns get it? Like, what's the signature win in this win streak so far?
It's definitely been a build. I mean, over the course of the win streak. I mean, they've basically, I think it's been over a month now since the Suns lost a basketball game.
Oh, man.
And so they, you know, at the beginning, this streak actually started when DeAndre Ayton was injured. And if you remember back to the highlights you were seeing on your timeline of Frank Kaminsky scoring a career high, that was how this thing started.
Yeah, I don't know if those made it to my timeline. I'm not sure about everybody
else. I hope
else.
They did. We all should hope that we got to see it. Frank is now hurt, so
they were throwbacks to like Wisconsin, I think, if I was going to see
any
Frank highlights.
Exactly. That's really the highlight of his career. No, but that's where it started. Was Ayton was out, and he was dealing with this leg contusion, is what they called it. Then he comes back. Now Frank is actually out, but they didn't miss a beat. And so that was sort of rocky at the beginning. There was a lot of games where actually, you know, I think they were wins, but Suns fans were still pretty disappointed. They were kind of barely beating their, you know, worse, lesser competition. And I think the past week or so, especially going on the road, has been when they really kind of announced their arrival. I mean, they had a pretty big win against the Timberwolves, who are, you know, that we kind of think of that as a pretty easy win, but they've been pretty good. That game was really close, really True. Physical late. Cat, I think, scored 30 plus points. Then they went on the road. They beat the Cavs. They beat the Knicks. Now they beat the Nets. And I think that's where it's really starting to, like, I did a show to close out the week last week, kind of saying like, this feels like the best team in the NBA now, but I waited, you know, what, a dozen games before I really was saying that. Cause you're right. Like, you beat the Rockets two times. Well, who hasn't beat the Rockets? Right. So, I think that's kind of where we are, and it couldn't be better timing, because Nets, Warriors, and Warriors 3 out of 4 games over the course of a week is the biggest test you could possibly face in the NBA right now, it feels like. So we'll see how real they are, and they might clinch this franchise record in the process.
What did that win against Brooklyn with KD going out for 39? You said that they put, you know, James Harden into like what, clamps or whatever you want to call Mikal Bridges, put him in clamps. But what does that win mean for this team? The Suns are all together right now. They beat the Brooklyn Nets. It seems like every time somebody beats the Nets, it's like, all right, we've arrived, right? Like, what does it mean for the Suns team?
I think it shows kind of an evolution, I think, of that identity that I was talking about to me. Because, well, first of all, we got to see the reminder that the Suns don't just have one extremely good 3-and-D forward defender. They have two, because Jay Crowder did a hell of a job. I mean, yes, KD went for 39, but as we saw with the Bucks playoff series last year, you keep KD to, you know, around 30 to 40 points and you win, and that's a victory. Like, it is what it is at that point. And so that was really huge for them, that Mikal was able to not have to guard KD and he could guard Harden at sort of the point of attack. And they've just been playing with insane pace. That's really been, in addition to just like going on the road and kind of proving it there, the bigger, you know, difference lately is they've been pushing and pushing and pushing. I mean, Chris Paul has this reputation, right, of he comes to a team and they slow down. That is what happened last year for the Suns. Ricky Rubio was the guy who was pushing the ball down the floor. You know, they were rolling in space all the time. Chris Paul comes, some of that stays, and Cameron Payne as your backup helps that a little bit, but they did slow down. This year, Chris is the guy kind of, I would say, adjusting a little bit, and you're seeing him really, you know, push and sprint and look like those 7 seconds or less Suns that you name drop a minute ago. He's having a very Steve Nash, Jason Kidd, John Stockton type of season where it's just everybody else is going to eat and I'm going to be the guy who kind of just, you know, takes control of the ship for a bit. And that's what I think they really kind of put together in that Nets game was having that versatile defense and then being able to turn it into offense, control the pace all night. And on the road, on a back-to-back, like, yeah, there's not much better of a test of if that stuff can hold up, and it did.
These Suns will now face the Golden State Warriors on Tuesday, a massive, massive game. For all the pre-game, for all the post-game analysis about that game, go listen to Locked On Suns. Brendan Kleen, thanks so much for joining us. Coming up, we're going to hear from Jackson Gatlin about the two-time winning in a row Houston Rockets, and we'll also talk about John Wall. But before we do that, let me tell you about Built Bar. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They're absolutely delicious, and you can use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off everything. And you can go to the site right now, and there's tons of stuff for Cyber Monday, an incredible amount of things on the website right now. They have the coconut brownie chunk bar that is the GOAT, the absolute greatest protein bar you will ever have. 150 calories, 15 grams of protein, 7 grams of sugar. Plus, they have a bunch of new flavors on there. Some of them, lemon dip cheesecake, I just got to try that one recently. Ruby chocolate, also just got to try that one. Caramel almond delight. and white chocolate cheesecake. Brand new flavors you can go check out at Built.com. Again, use our promo code LOCKED15. You get a 15% welcome bonus. It also lets everybody know that we sent you there. So go check it out, Built.com, promo code LOCKED15. Let me tell you about BetOnline.ag. It's the fastest and easiest way to put down some money on sports. The NFL and college football are going nuts right now. If you're not betting right now at BetOnline, you're missing out. Right now, if you want to bet on something, go ahead and check out those lines right there. You can also bet on the NBA. There's so many different things that you can bet on betonline.ag. Use our promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. If you're looking at some of the games on Monday night, my Dallas Mavericks, 5.5-point favorite against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Evan Mobley's back. I'm not sure about that one. Dallas Mavericks are coming off of a loss against the Wizards, but they've been home a little bit, so maybe they'll want to bounce back from that. Interesting game, though. Go check it out. Bet online. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. All right, welcome in Jackson Gatlin from Locked On Rockets and Locked On NBA on Thursdays. Jackson, what you got for me? These Rockets, they're coming in. They are on a winning streak. On a winning streak, the Houston Rockets. It's got to be a good feeling.
You know, after Nick, after going, you know, 15 games in a row, talking about nothing but losses, I will never take a winning streak for granted ever again, right? They had a 20-game losing streak last season, a 15-game losing streak this season. So winning back-to-back games feels pretty good. Honestly, it's a masterclass when you think about it from Rafael Stone and Stephen Silas. They knew what they would have with Christian Wood at the five, and it's going to be really cool to see this team go 66-16 the rest of the way. They're not going to lose another game this season. It's happening now.
I mean, you say that, but don't look now. Okay, they just beat the Bulls. They just beat the Hornets in overtime. Next two games, Thunder, a home and home with the Thunder, and then Magic, and then Pelicans. Like, I mean, if they won all five games in that stretch, I don't know if I'd be like that's or all four of these next games. I don't know if I'd be that surprised.
Six game winning streak is entirely possible here. No, I kid, but it is a great feeling for this team. They finally were able to string together a couple wins. They made some significant changes. And I think that's what, you know, resulted in these wins is Stephen Silas finally opting to change the starting lineup, move some things around, put more shooting on the floor, more spacing with Christian Wood at the five. And we're seeing the results in the win column now.
Yeah, those big changes. I've heard a lot from Rockets fans and on your show about the Tice Wood combination starting for the Rockets. That has just been a combo that I don't know if anyone wants to see anymore. Was that the big change? Was there something else they changed that you see that, like, all right, this is how they got this win by making this adjustment?
No, it really is just that front court pairing of Daniel Tice, Christian Wood. It just was not working. Christian Wood is a center, right? The idea was, is they tried pairing Christian Wood with Kelly Olynyk for the back half of last season, and they found a little bit of success doing that. But Kelly Olynyk is a different, you know, type of front court player than Daniel Tice is, especially offensively. So Olynyk and Wood found some success offensively together last season. So maybe they thought they could replicate that a little bit, but with a more defensive version of a player in Daniel Tice, have somebody who can maybe anchor the defense a little bit more alongside Christian Wood. But unfortunately, defenses weren't honoring Daniel Tice as a shooter. The spacing was abysmal. They couldn't play off of each other nearly as well as Kelly Olynyk and Christian Wood were able to play off of each other last season. And the biggest hangup that I have on this whole, you know, dilemma is that Daniel Tice isn't a bad player, and he wasn't playing poorly. It's just in this Rocket system, sliding Christian Wood down to the four is not nearly as effective as playing him at the five and having all this spacing. He's most effective as a pick and roll big or a big who can pick and pop as well. And when you have a secondary big out there kind of occupying the dunker spot or trying to play five out where you don't get nearly, you know, you have defenders sagging in and really crowding the paint, it just made things difficult for this Rockets team. Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green were having issues. They had no open driving lanes. And so everything just opened up once you slid Christian Wood to the five. Daniel Tice hasn't played. He's logged a DNP coach's decision the last two games, and the Rockets are now 2-0. Again, this isn't because Daniel Tice is a bad player.
Coincidence?
No, that's not the takeaway that I want people to have from this. Daniel Tice is serviceable. He just wasn't being utilized properly by this Rockets team, unfortunately, with, you know, everybody that they have on hand. And then on top of that, just Alperen Şengün has been very impressive during his, you know, brief stint in the NBA so far. And I don't think the Rockets were expecting him to be as impactful as he has been to this point. So
that entire conversation about Christian Wood and Tice starting is the exact same conversation we're having over at the Mavericks with Kristaps Porzingis and with Dwight Powell. Like, literally just change the proper nouns of that sentence and all the rest of the verbs and adjectives apply to those two guys. It's absolutely insane. But it's a point where certain coaches, they fall in love with certain guys. They're a veteran. They come onto that team and you're like, okay, I have this super young team and I want to play this veteran guy, this veteran center, and put him in the lineup, and then we'll make it work and we'll try this out. And in theory, you're like, okay, this guy, one guy can do this and this other guy can do this and then it'll work out. But in practice, it doesn't. So it's interesting to see the Rockets just made this move with Tice. The Mavericks also just made their own move with Dwight Powell and Willie Cauley-Stein flipping. I'm not sure that one's going to work out as well as this Rockets one did with two wins in a row. But
I will say,
it's interesting to see when coaches make decisions like that. They finally like, all right, I've seen 18 or 20 games or so, and now I'm making my change.
I think the biggest issue, though, Nick, is that it took a 15-game losing streak, and that's why, you know, there were the reports, the rumors that Steven Silas may be on the hot seat. Frankly, I don't think that it took them that long to realize that the pairing was going to be ineffective. There was a large enough sample size there where you could look at Christian Wood, Daniel Tice. They had one of the worst, you know, net ratings as a front court duo across the entire NBA. In fact, I believe they were the worst front court duo net rating across the entire NBA with, you know, a certain threshold of minutes and whatnot. But that said, I think there was probably some type of discussion that was had this offseason when they brought in Daniel Tice to say, hey, we want to bring you in. We want to sign you to a four-year deal. You're going to come in and you're going to be the starter next to Christian Wood, right? Some kind of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, or just a handshake agreement. You're going to start. And so to me, I think they had to have like that hard conversation, right, with Tice, where it's like, hey, the direction of this team is a little bit different. Obviously, it's not working with you and Christian in the front court together. We thought it would. We're sorry. And whether that's a conversation that Silas had with him or Rafael Stone, the general manager, or both of them, or maybe they didn't have the conversation at all and they just said, you know what, we're just going to bench him and see how it works out. But obviously, it was frustrating that it took that long, but finally it's happened. And now it's like a breath of fresh air. This Rockets team looks entirely different with Christian Wood at the five spot.
Speaking of having a conversation, John Wall and the Rockets are now in talking terms again. John Wall has been so entirely removed from this Rockets team, he literally doesn't have a number on Basketball Reference. So I don't know if that tells you anything, but what's the latest with John Wall, and should we expect John Wall to play for the Rockets, or is this just another thing where they're drumming up talk about John Wall to eventually get a trade done for him?
Honestly, right now, the way things look, first, John, you know, even though he hasn't been playing on the court, he's been very much involved with the organization, right? This was an agreement that they came to, you know, over the summer, deciding that the direction that the organization was going to go in wasn't in line with what John Wall brought to the table. They said, we're going to ice him. We're going to, you know, have you sit out because we're prioritizing the development of our backcourt of the future in Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green. And seemingly, John Wall was on board with that idea. He believed that the Rockets were going to be able to potentially find a trade suitor. And he was playing ball, or I guess, you know, not playing ball, and, you know, sitting on the sidelines, and everything was kosher, right? Even though I didn't exactly buy the idea that this would last the entirety of the season, now we're seeing it just not even 2 months into the season. John Wall, he's got that itch. He wants to play again. Frankly, right now, though, the Rockets are, you know, digging their heels in, and they're firm in the idea that they're willing to bring John Wall back. That's basically where we're at, is John Wall could play tomorrow if he's willing to take a reserve role. And unfortunately, that's where he's at, is he believes that he is a starting caliber player, that he still has a lot to offer this Rockets team or any other team in the league for that matter. But unfortunately, the Rockets are at this crossroads where they have to figure out what they have with Kevin Porter Jr. and whether or not he can be the point guard of the future for this team. Because right now, Kevin Porter Jr. is going to be a restricted free agent this upcoming season. So he's extension eligible. And the Rockets need to know what they have there. And inserting John Wall back into the starting lineup, even if you were to keep Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. starting alongside John Wall, he takes reps away from those guys. You put the ball in his hands, you're taking the ball out of Kevin Porter Jr.'s hands. And for this to come on the heels of arguably Kevin Porter Jr.'s best game as a point guard this season, had 12 assists, 4 turnovers in the win against the Charlotte Hornets, looked really good, really did a solid job of controlling the flow of the game, finding his guys, hitting Christian Wood on the roll, finding Eric Gordon, finding Garrison Matthews, shooters on the wing, little flare screens and stuff like that. Honestly, very peculiar that this would happen at this point in time. But where this Rockets team stands is I don't see them bringing John Wall back unless he is willing to take a lesser role, or, you know, again, if he wants to play that badly, then a buyout is always possible, right? At this point, it seems like John Wall wants to have his cake and he wants to eat it too, right? He wants to get paid. He wants all the money of his contract. He also wants to play and he wants to start. He can't have it both ways. That contract does not guarantee him a starting spot, unfortunately.
There you go. The Houston Rockets going on 2-game streak, going on maybe a 6-game streak. We'll see what happens to them. You can follow everything over at the Locked On Rockets podcast on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Jackson, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely.
Thanks for making Locked On NBA your first listen every single day. We will be back tomorrow with a breakdown of all the games with the two guys, Tony East and Dave Watson. David Watson of the Locked On Bulls podcast. Great stuff from those guys coming up tomorrow, breaking down all the games. So check us out. Now make your second listen, Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Josh Lloyd, the GOAT of fantasy basketball, just killing it over there. Go check it out. Thanks so much for listening to Locked On NBA.
Boom!